The Lord told us that He gave His all for us. What have we done for Him? He left everything for us. What are we leaving Him? Let's pray that the Almighty God will find us faithful. Everlasting Father, we bless your name. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for how good you have been to us. You are a covenant-keeping God, and you never renege on any of your promises. You've always proved faithful to your word, to your promises, and to your covenant. And if you do that for us, Lord, it's only fitting and proper that we do same for you. Lord, we pray that you will help us to rise to the occasion and be faithful men and women after your own heart. Find us so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you can hear me, give me an amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you. So we are looking at faithfulness or faithfulness to God in all things. The reason why God is calling on us to be faithful to Him in all things is that He is faithful. Turn with me to First Corinthians chapter 1, the verse numbered 9. First Corinthians chapter 1, the verse numbered 9. We are told there in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful, by whom it is faithful God who has called us unto the fellowship of His Son Jesus Christ as our Lord. And if God is faithful, we have to be faithful also. Chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 4, the verse numbered 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required. In steward, it's a requirement in stewards, in servants, in the children of God, that a man be found faithful, a woman be found faithful. In other words, in our world, faithfulness is not an optional extra. It is a requirement that if you want to walk with God, if you want to serve God, if you want to be a child of God, you cannot but be faithful to Him. And the reason is simple. We read it earlier in chapter 1 that God is faithful. And if He is faithful, can two walk together except they be agreed? We ought to be faithful. He is faithful to His word and His promises. In all His dealings with us, He proves Himself so. This faithfulness is the attribute of God that makes Him the covenant-keeping God. And as His children, we ought to resemble our Father by being faithful to Him in all things. And as we have seen from chapter 4 and verse 2, that it is required, it's a requirement, it's mandatory that we are faithful to God. And we see that as the choir sang to us, those who have gone ahead of us, they are faithful. And may those who come after us also find us faithful. My prayer is that on that day, on that final day, the day of judgment and the day of accountability, the Lord will say to you and me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou to the joy of thy Lord. This is the kind of testimony and verdict that we are all looking for and waiting for. And I pray that this will be our portion in Jesus' name. We look at our first point of discussion, and we are looking at the fundamentals of faithfulness to God. The basic, the principles. There are some things we need to grasp, we need to understand as far as faithfulness to God is concerned. Psalm 24, we are reading there the verse numbered 1 and 2. Psalm 24, verse 1 and 2. You've seen that, please do us a favor and read that for us. Psalm 24, 1 and 2.
Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2. The earth is of the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he had founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods.
God bless you for the reading. The earth is the Lord's. It belongs to him. Everything you see there belongs to him. And not only that, the people in the world, the people on earth, they also belong to God. So everything we see, everything we handle, everything you know we come across here on earth is the Lord. He's the owner. And not only that, you as an individual, you have an owner, and it is God who owns you. And that should be the basic understanding we ought to get as far as our walk with God is concerned. Matthew 25, let's read from verse 14. Matthew 25 from verse 4. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered them his goods. Stewards, the Lord delivered unto his own servant, that's another word for stewards, his goods. They were just stewards, they were just caretakers. Remember where we are coming from? The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And everything we have, the Lord has delivered them into our hands. Verse 15, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2. And to another 1. And you see, we are told that to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. We are differently endowed. One may have 5 talents, another may have 2, another may have only 1. But it is not the quantum, it is not the quantity, it is not the amount of endowment you have that is of the essence that matters to God, but it is the faithfulness. How you handle and how you deal with whether much or little God has given to you, whether you have several ability or just 1 or 2, the faithfulness is required. We are told in verse 16, then he that had received the 5 talents went and faithfully, he was faithful, traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. There was fruit. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. He didn't say, why did my Lord give this 1 5 and I only got 2? If I only got 2, what am I going to do with the 2? He also faithfully traded, worked, labored, and gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and dig in the earth and hid Lord's money. He decided not to do anything. He only had 1, but he decided to bury that 1 talent, that 1 ability, that 1 skill, that 1 possession the Lord had given to him. And we are told in verse 19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants come. And brothers and sisters, it appears that the Lord's coming is becoming a long time. Because we have heard and heard and heard, and we are tired of hearing Jesus is coming again, the rapture is coming. We are growing insensitive. to the call of God. But one thing is certain, the Lord will come. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth account with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. It is the faithfulness in the few that graduates, that promotes you to the faithfulness over many things. And that is in the natural. It is those who excel at their workplaces. It is those who measure up to the standard and an output that get promoted, who get more responsibilities, who get higher responsibilities. And it is fair and proper that those who are diligent, those who are faithful, are the ones that get rewarded. Verse 22, he that also had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Brothers and sisters, let's pause for a moment. I want us to look at verse 21 and verse 23. Verse 21 was spoken to the servant with 5 talents. Verse 23 to the servant with just 2 talents. Now, can you tell me the difference between verse 21 and verse 23? When you are ready, you can unmute your mic and tell us. What difference have you discovered between 21 for the talent, for the servant with 5 talents, and 23 for the servant with only 2? Anybody helping us?
I don't see any difference.
God bless you, Pastor. There is no difference. There is no difference. And that teaches us a lot that, you know, one got 5 talents. He worked with it faithfully. And the same reward, the same commendation he got was the same that the one who had only 2 and traded with it faithfully also got. It is not once again the number of talents and abilities that you have that you got, but your faithfulness, your commitment to your duty that matters to God. Verse 24, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, complaining, accusation, blame gaming, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strewed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered unto him, thou wicked and slothful, lazy servant. He didn't get any commendation. You can't be slothful and lazy and expect to be rewarded, to be praised by God. The Lord called him wicked servant. He was a servant, he was a steward, but his Lord found him wicked. I pray the Lord will not be so. Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strewed. Thou oughtest to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury, with interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which has 10 talents. You see that? Even the only one he had, it had to be taken from him and then given to the one who faithfully worked with what he had. You know, the world knows this and they call this the Matthew effect when they are talking about taxation and income redistribution. That it is those who are faithful who get more rewarded, who get extra responsibilities. Don't you see that? You know, the people who are faithful in the house of God, they are the ones who keep getting more responsibilities every now and then. That is the kingdom principle. That is the fundamental fact that God wants us to grasp. And then we are told in verse 29, for unto everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But for him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. If the Lord endows you with a gift, intellect, ability, whatever you possess, and you don't use it, you will lose it, because God wants fruit. And he expects that from us. And there are consequences for loathing, for not doing anything. We are told in verse 30, and cast ye that unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is hellfire. And so, brothers and sisters, we see the huge responsibility the Lord has placed on our shoulders. It's not once again about whether you have more, but the little strength you have, the little ability you have, the little intellect you have, the little resource you have. Just use it to do something for your God, and he will reward you in time and in eternity, in Jesus' name. Luke 16, 9 to 12. Luke 16, 9 to 12. I need a sister's voice. Luke 16, verse 9 to 12. Any sister in the house?
Luke chapter 16, verse 9 to 12. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. 11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Verse 12. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?
God bless you, my sister. Very deep questions to ponder on. If you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, riches, possessions, talent, who will commit to your trust the true riches, the eternal riches, the everlasting riches of the kingdom? If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? And then he tells us in verse 9 that we should make to ourselves friend of the mammon of unrighteousness when we fail. A time is coming we will fail. And this is talking about death. We will not always be here. When we fail, that they may receive you into everlasting habitations. What are you depositing in your heaven bank account? Is it zero or it is full? You know, I read about a man, this could be fictional. You know, you go to heaven after life on earth, and he was being moved around, he saw mansions and everything, and then he was shown his own by the angels, and the man was wondering, because based on what he had seen, he was expecting something, you know, more glorious than what he had. And then he was told that this is all we could do with the materials you sent here. this is all we could do with the materials you sent here. When you fail, that they may receive you into everlasting habitations. That we don't only live for the here and now, we do something for God and for his people and for his kingdom. You know, God wants us to know that we are his estate managers. We are his trustees. We are his stewards. And everything you owe, everything you own, you owe it to God. Everything you are, you owe it to God. Everything you will be, it is to God. Remember, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the people. Everything belongs to God. Unfaithfulness in earthly things will disqualify you from the true and heavenly possessions. You know, you can't take off any of God's possessions with you when you die. That is why we read, when you fail, because you only hold them in trust. And if you are a trustee of something, it means that the thing doesn't belong to you. You're only looking after it. You will leave it and go. Nobody carries any property. Nobody carries any possessions out of this world, because the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. You know, faithfulness to God does not give us immunity from persecutions and afflictions in this life. If you really, really take time to study, you will see that the people who are faithful to God, you know, they are often the target of the enemy. But however difficult their situation is, however challenging their affliction become, God always stands by his faithful people. He stood by Daniel, he stood by Shadrach, he stood by Meshach and Abednego, he stood by Paul and many of his people that were put through difficult challenges. And I pray that the Lord will also find you faithful. Mm-hmm. May those who will come after we have left come and read our account, our stories, our biographies, if Christ tarries, and say, this was a faithful man, this was a faithful woman to God. Let's look at our second point of discussion, the facets. The many, many sides of faith, of the faithfulness we are talking about. Remember, we are talking about faithfulness to God in all things. 1 Kings chapter 20. 1 Kings chapter 20. We want to read from the verse numbered 1 to 4. 1 Kings 20, 1 to 4. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his host together. And there were 32 kings with him, and horses, and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria, and warred, fought against it. And he sent messenger to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, thus said Ben-Hadad, thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, my lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have. This is in the physical. This was a man speaking to a fellow man. And you see the surrender, you see the absolute renunciation, absolute surrender of everything. And if the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, then we should be able to tell the Lord, my silver and my gold is yours, my wives and children, my husband and children, they are yours. We will not make family an excuse for not serving God, my wife and children. Joshua said that I and my house, we will serve the Lord. My wives and my children, all the goodliest, everything I have, they are yours. And you will be able to say, I am thine, all that I have. That is what the Lord is calling us to. Brothers and sisters, the Lord wants our faithfulness to be total and complete. And in what areas should our faithfulness touch and affect? The Lord wants us to be faithful to the faith, faithful to the Christian faith, faithful to everything, the doctrines, everything that has been handed down to us. He wants us to earnestly contend for the Christian faith, to stand as a believer when the hour comes for you to stand on God's side. He wants us to be faithful to Him with our God-given abilities, the skills and talents we possess. Faithfulness required. The Lord wants us to show faithfulness to Him in our incomes, our money. Should we even call it our money when the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof? He says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. 8 from verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Beware, be aware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Life is good. Everything is turning around for your good. You are prospering on every side. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up. This has always been the nemesis. This has always been the challenge of the people of God. Then thy heart be lifted up. Pride then comes in. Self-reliance then comes in. Self-sufficiency then comes in. Then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And then thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this world. You say in your heart that my education, my hard work, my connections has gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. That's why you need to be faithful to God in your income. We shall remember the Lord thy God, because it is he that giveth thee wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, you shall surely perish. I pray this will not be our portion, but when the Lord prospers us, when we receive our incomes, we will remember that it is God who prospered us and gave us the power to get wealth. He gave us the health to make wealth. He gave us the ability to make wealth. Faithfulness is required in our incomes. The Lord wants us to be faithful in the use of our time. You don't only spend your time on yourself. The breath God has given to you, you don't use it only on yourself. It's only fair and proper that God gives you 24 hours in a day. You commit part of that to his cause, to his work. Be faithful in the use of your time. The Lord wants us to be faithful in the management of our household also. There was a man that the Lord could relax that, oh, I know him. I know he will meet up to this. I know he will commit to this. Genesis chapter 18, verse 17 to 19. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him. I don't need to sweat about Abraham. I can rest my soul. I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. My brother, the Lord is counting on you to be faithful in the management of your household, that you will be found faithful in everything you do in that home, in every decision you take in that home, in every direction you are shepherding and leading the family. May the Lord find you as faithful as Abraham. The Lord wants us to be faithful in our fellowship with him and with other believers. We are not to forget the assembling of ourselves together when the day is approaching. You don't need to be reminded about church meetings. You just ought to be there. It is part of our faithfulness. He wants us to be faithful to the underprivileged, to the orphans, to those who are disadvantaged, that the resources we have, we do share with them as well. The Lord wants us to be faithful to him in our lamentations. You know, there comes a time you are naturally down. You know, you have battles to fight. Things are not going as they should. But do you still remain committed and faithful to God in those moments? Yes, that's what the Lord is calling us to. And that's what the example that Paul the Apostle shows us. In stripes, in shipwrecks, in beatings, in everything, he remained faithful to the calling and the cause of God. You can find that in 2 Corinthians 11:23-30. He wants us to be faithful in the way we relate to our neighbors, especially those who are unbelievers. He wants us to be faithful to our employers. And if you are here as an employer, the Lord wants you to be faithful to your employees. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 to 19. You have seen that. Please read for us. Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 19. 6:17-19. 6:17-19. Are you reading for us?
1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Sorry. I read, it says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Amen.
God bless you, Pastor. This is the charge. Charge them that are rich in this world. The Lord will make you rich. But when the riches come, he say, don't be high-minded. Don't trust in those riches because they are uncertain. They are temporary. Remember, you are only a trustee and you will leave them here and go. But you trust in the living God because he gives us all things richly to enjoy. He gives us the power to get and to make wealth. That is who God is to us. He wants us to be faithful to him in soul winning also, the evangelism. You know, we should be concerned about souls because it's a ministry the Lord has given to our hands, a ministry that the Lord has called us to, and you will not shy away when the opportunity comes for you to witness to a soul. The Lord wants us to be faithful to our spouses, to your wife and to your husband, to that marriage. Be faithful to that marriage. Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. Let's look at the verse numbered 14. Malachi chapter 2, verse 14. 2 from verse 14. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord has been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth. God is a witness in that marriage of yours. Don't say, we didn't go to church to have any wedding. So long as it is a legitimate marriage, God is a witness in that marriage. Between thee and thy wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, deceitfully. Yet is she thy companion. Your wife is your companion. She is not your slave. And the wife of your covenant. And he did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. Let not none deal deceitfully against the husband of her youth, against the wife of his youth. Why? Verse 16, for the Lord God of Israel said that he hates putting away. Don't contemplate divorce because the Lord hates it. Whatever the challenge is, whatever the problem is, there is a more excellent way to deal with the problem. A child of God should not be contemplating divorce. The Lord hates it. For one covered violence with his garment, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you deal not treacherously. You see the number of warnings the Lord has given to us. Faithfulness to your spouse is faithfulness to God, because it is God who instituted marriage. May the Lord find our marriages so, in Jesus' name. The Lord doesn't want us to be living to ourselves. Romans chapter 14, Romans 14, verse 7. Romans 14 from verse 7 to verse 9. For none of us, without exception, liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself, because you have an owner, and God owns you. That is the fundamental fact we considered earlier about faithfulness. And we need to grasp this sense of divine ownership. You are not your own. None of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. That's why there is accountability and judgment after death. Verse 8, for whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. Have a Lord, whether you are alive or dead, you are the Lord's. And the Lord wants us to settle that from this moment. Let's finally look at the faithfulness of our fathers, the fathers of the faith, those who have gone ahead of us. How did they walk with this God? Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. Faithfulness of our fathers, the fathers of the faith. Numbers chapter 12. It talks about Moses. Let's read verse 7 because of time. My servant Moses is not so. This was the occasion when Miriam and Aaron descended on Moses and they gossiped and spoke all kinds of things against him. And the Lord comes in and said, my servant Moses is not so. You are speaking against my servant Moses. You know, you have no basis for doing what you are doing. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. Wherever I put Moses, I found him faithful. May the Lord find us so. Hebrews 3, 1, verse 2 and 5, confirming the faithfulness of Moses. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, verse 2 and verse 5. 3, 1, 2, 5. Wherefore, holy brethren, the exhortation is coming to us, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. Christ was faithful. He did nothing without his father's approval. He was obedient even to the death of the cross. And he says, consider, have him as your example. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him. As also Moses was faithful in all his house. Moses was faithful in all his house, we are told in verse 5, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. This is the path that has been created for us to follow. Christ was faithful, Moses was faithful, others were faithful, and God wants you and me to be faithful. Acts chapter 13, please read for me verse 21 to 23. Acts 13, verse 21 to 23. 13, 21 to 23.
Acts chapter 13, verse
21 to 23.
And afterwards they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. 23. Of this man's seed had God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus.
God bless you, Pastor. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. It is the faithfulness of David that got him this commendation and testimony from God. Acts chapter 20 from verse 17. Acts 20, 17. chapter 20, verse 17. This is Paul the Apostle. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. I wasn't proud. I wasn't high-minded. I served the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears. Remember, faithfulness in lamentations. He was crying, but he was still faithful. He was suffering, but he was still faithful. Serving the Lord with many tears and temptation, tests and trials, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And all these afflictions and challenges and suffering, how I kept back nothing. I was still faithful to the cause and the calling that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you and I've taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save, except that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city that bonds and afflictions abide me. The Lord has told me that, Paul, where you are going, expect bonds, expect chains, expect affliction, but that will not let him chicken out. The Holy Ghost says that bonds and afflictions abide me. And look at his testimony and his confession in verse 24, but none of these things move me. May this be our confession. All the things that seem to take you away from God, however challenging and difficult they may be, there was a father of the faith who went through the same things, and he said, none of these things move me. Neither count out my life dear unto myself, who are becoming so careful. I don't want to go here. I don't want to be sick. I don't want to suffer. I need time to rest. I don't count my life dear unto myself. It is a life to be spent for God, because God, Christ, spent his life for me. He gave everything. I gave. What hast thou given to me? So that I might finish my course with joy. I want to end this life. When I fail, I want to do so with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify, I have a charge to keep. I have a God to glorify, a never-dying soul to save and to fit it for the sky. The ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, Pastor, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. You will not run when the kitchen gets hot. You will not be moved. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, you shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Why? Because I've been faithful to God. I've been faithful to the ministry. I've been faithful to my calling. I've been faithful to the cause. That is why I can boldly say, I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take ye therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. The Holy Ghost has made you a worker. The Holy Ghost has made you a pastor. To feed the church of God, not just to occupy space, you are to work. To feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves. Wolves will come in, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things, strange things, polluted things, false doctrines, to draw away disciples after them. They are not making disciples for Christ. They are making disciples for God. They are building empires for God. They are unfaithful. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears, faithfulness. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. He is gone. He is no longer with us. and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. I have not coveted any man's gold, any man's salary, any man's house, any man's car, any man's job. That is faithfulness. May the Lord find us so. And Christ tells us that we should be faithful unto death. It is not faithfulness for a month and for a week. Not faithfulness only on Sundays. Faithfulness unto death. It's a lifetime commitment. And the Lord says that I will give you a crown of life. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. You want to bring your heart to God. Faithfulness to God in all things. Where do you stand, my dear sister? My brother, how faithful have you been to God? God is faithful, and it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, a woman be found faithful. And this faithfulness is a total, complete, all-encompassing faithfulness. It is the way Christ went. It is the way Moses went. It is the way David went. It is the way Abraham went. It is the way Noah went. It is the way Paul went. We cannot do otherwise. It is the same heaven they are that we want to go. And God has set the standard and made it clear and plain to you and to me. Your faithfulness to the faith. You will earnestly contend for the faith. The abilities God has given to you. You are faithfully dispensing them for his. You are faithful in your income. And in your giving to God, you are faithful in your use of your time. You are faithful in the management of your home and household like Abraham was. You are faithful to the fellowship of God. May you be found a pillar in the church of God, not a caterpillar, pulling things down, destroying the church. That is unfaithfulness. You are not drawing disciples after yourself. That's unfaithfulness. You are faithful to the underprivileged. Oh, you are faithful in your lamentations. You are weeping and you are still serving. You have a challenge, but that does not reduce your faithfulness to God. Your faithfulness to your neighbors, to the unbelieving. You are faithful to your employer. You are faithful to your employee. You are faithful to soul winning, God's husband. Oh, faithfulness to your spouse. However holy you are, if you are lacking in this area, your holiness is not complete. Your faithfulness is not complete because God is a witness in that marriage. Pastor, please take over.